Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, as we come to you now in Scripture and in Word, and we ask for your loving grace upon us as a family of faith, we ask that you be with those who aren't with us this morning, wherever they may be. Lay your hands of mercy and grace upon them, as only you can. And let them know that their friends here in this beautiful place we call Bethel are thinking about them. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of your message this morning is called, It's Expected. I've worked on this message for quite some time. One of the things that I contribute to helping me with this message was several lessons that we worked through together in our Bible study, 52 Weeks with Jesus. Again, I invite you to that study. It's a wonderful group of people who have a great open discussion about their faith and their beliefs. And this was a powerful, particularly a powerful lesson that brought me to this sermon this morning. And our sermon comes out of two specific scriptures, John 19:14-16, and Luke 23:32-34. So let's go to the Lord together this morning, first in John and then again in Luke. This is John 19:14-16. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted to him and said, take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, they said. The chief priest answered Pilate's question. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus and scurried away. In Luke 23:32, we hear these words through 34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Where are you this morning? Is the question. You know the answer to this question because you are not lost. You have your bearings. You know where you are. You know where how you got here and where you've come from. And more importantly, you know how to get home. Quick question, have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? Many of us can answer yes, because we are thinking physically and geographically. Some of us can also say no, because you have truly never been lost. You may have been turned around a time or two, but you weren't truly lost. However, the answer to this morning's question, are you lost, is for all of us sitting here this morning, is absolutely, we have been lost. Why? Because the question is asked in the context of spirituality. You see, we were born blind, not because we could not physically see. We were born without spiritual sight because we were blind at birth. Much in the same way that we are sinners today. We are sinners not because we've sinned, which we have, but because we were born into sin. Every one of us here this morning would be completely lost, and our sins would be completely unforgiven if it were not for the abundant mercy of our Heavenly Father. Listen to these words out of Romans 3, 23 through 24. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let me read this one section to you again. We are justified by His grace as a gift. You see, the grace of God is a gift, and that grace is Jesus Christ. Each of us are afforded total and complete forgiveness of our sins because God loves us and He shows mercy upon us. The mercy of God affords us our freedom and restores a relationship we could never attain on our own with Him. You see, no matter how smart we are or how wealthy we are, how good in general we are as people, we are not justified by our own works. Nor do we inherit worth in God's eyes by those works. Our favor comes by grace, and grace alone. The nature of forgiveness is mercy. Listen again from these words in Luke 6:36-37. Be merciful, it says, even as your Father is merciful to you. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. In order for us to be merciful with each other, we must consistently encounter and reflect on the abundant mercy that we have been given by God each and every day. When we were at our very lowest, God swooped down and met us there and offered us eternal and abundant life to Him. He didn't do this when we were up here. He did this when we were down here. He didn't ask us to meet a bar. He came to us when we were down here at our very lowest. Friends, when we had no ability to attain the right to stand before God, our Creator, God brought Himself down to our level. Took on the form of a servant and died for you and me. Some additional words out of Scripture, Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the death, even the death of a cross. We were saved by the greatest act of mercy the world will ever know. Today, in this place, our Heavenly Father is asking us to share that mercy. He's asking us to share that mercy that we have been shown through Him with others. He's asking us to live and to operate in His likeness by loving others the way each of us have been loved. You see, Scripture commands us to forgive others. It's not a request. It's a commandment. God doesn't give us the option. Listen to what it says in Galatians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Doesn't say you can, it says you must. Many of us say, well, I can't do that. The acts committed against me or others are incomprehensible. Friends, you turn the TV on, you open the paper, there are acts in this world that are incomprehensible. And we say to ourselves, forgiveness? Nah, no way. That's not going to happen on my watch today. Not for that. I ask you this morning, is that really your position? To not forgive. You are a people who have been forgiven. Is this your position this morning, not to forgive? If so, listen to these words out of James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Simply put, if we choose to live with unforgiveness, we are living outside of the will of God. The first step is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the perpetrator. It does not give them a free pass. Forgiveness liberates the victim. It's a gift we have been giving. It's a gift that we give ourselves when we forgive. Look, let's be real. God knows forgiveness is difficult. He knows that it takes courage and strength to offer mercy where it is undeserved. He knows this all too well, does he not? You see, God was the first person to forgive. He paid the highest price ever paid, ever conceived for our sins. He forgave each and every one of us. You see, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to an undeserving and gruesome death. But he also knows the joy that comes with reconciliation. God knows the goodness of wiping the slate clean, that he might have restored a relationship, our relationship with him, through each one of us in wiping the slate clean. In this morning's scripture, we heard Jesus' first words on the cross. The entire story of him coming to be crucified, walking through the streets, bearing our cross. Jesus didn't speak. His first words, while flat on his back, truly show his true nature of who Jesus Christ is. Following the judgment of Pilate, Jesus was ordered to be crucified. On the way to the cross, Jesus was mocked, spit on, ridiculed, whipped, beaten to the point that he was physically unable to bear the weight of our cross. When Jesus finally arrived at the place of the skull, his hands and his feet were pierced by nails. At this very moment, the crucifixion had just begun. They haven't even, at this point, erected the cross. But already Jesus was dealing with more pain than you and I can ever imagine. Imagine pain in nearly every part of your body, and spectators gathered around to watch you die. What would you be praying for at that very moment, flat on your back and nailed to a cross, dying for others? What would you pray for? Jesus could have prayed for anything. He could have prayed for the relief from the anguish that was just beginning. He could have prayed for the executioners to stop torturing him. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? Instead, Jesus prayed for mankind's greatest need. He prayed for forgiveness. Jesus prayed for the crowd that shouted, "Crucify him." Jesus prayed for Pilate, who washed his hands of him and dismissed him like a piece of trash and ordered him to be executed. Jesus prayed for the soldiers who mocked him, spit on him, whipped him, and beat him. And yes, he even prayed for the soldiers who drove the spikes through his flesh and nailed him to the cross and crushed his bones while he was flat on his back. Jesus prayed for them all. What did he say in his anguish? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Jesus took the brunt of the cross for every single one of them. And he prayed that they would be forgiven for their actions. But this morning, the important message here this morning is it wasn't just for them. Jesus died for you and me. You see, we are not disconnected by time. Sitting here this morning in this church, each of us are part of that crucifixion story, because our sins were part of the weight on that cross that day. Jesus felt every one of them surge through his body. You see, Jesus took the sins of man then, in the past, and in the present, and the future. Those were the sins he died for that day. Every time that we have made mistakes and didn't follow God's will, every time we go to great lengths to marginalize and trivialize our sins and say things such like this, "It was just a mistake. It really doesn't matter." He felt the pain for the times that we ignored our neighbor's needs and focused on our own. For every time that we broke God's law, he felt the pain. Just like the crowd that shouted, "Crucify him," we didn't always know what we were doing either. But he took those sins away from you and me. Jesus prayed for me and you that day on the cross, flat on his back, in the place of the skull. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." If Jesus can forgive Pilate, who condemned him, the soldiers who beat him, the executioner who swung the hammer that struck the nails, that crushed his bones and pierced his skin, we certainly can forgive those who have wronged us, can't we? Can't we? Not because we can. It's because we must. Jesus' first words, "Father, forgive them," aren't just for those who crucified him that day. They're for me and you. You see, that's called mercy. That's mercy. And you have been shown mercy long before you ever knew it. In closing this morning, God longs for you to be a minister of reconciliation to all who have hurt you. He longs to overwhelm you with His love and mercy to the degree that offering others mercy and love comes from the place of a Christian heart rather than your own strength to give it. He longs to fill you with courage and perspective so that you can forgive those who need a glimpse of the mercy and the grace that you know and have been given. Take time this morning to reflect on the gift you have undeservedly received. Remember, God has rewarded each of us with His love and mercy. Let today and the days to come be different than yesterday. Love like you're taught. Follow His guidance as He gives you grace to forgive. You know, when we say we can't, my question to you this morning is, you can't what? What can't you do? You are born again. What can't you do? What is it you can't do? You have been given the greatest gift ever given to mankind. You are born again. You can see what others cannot. What can't you do? When we say we can't, I want you to remember the story when Jesus was asked by Peter, "What do I do to the friends and folks who harm me, sir? Lord, what do I do? Do I forgive them seven times?" Jesus says, "What? No, not seven times. You forgive them 77 times." You see, Peter was born again. He was saved, just like you and me. Forgiveness affords God the opportunity to heal our heart and our soul. And also, it affords the opportunity for God to forgive them as well. I leave you with these words this morning in this message. Our sins are our greatest problems. Thus, forgiveness is our greatest need. Thus, forgiveness is our greatest gift. Forgiveness is expected. Amen.